Barnardo's South of Tyne Locality Day, University of Sunderland, 24th of February 2015. Workshop 2. Danielle Ammon from the Children's Society Scarpa Project facilitates a session about child sexual exploitation.
Child sexual exploitation can occur through the use of technology without the child's immediate recognition, for example, being persuaded to post sexual images on the internet. In all cases, those exploiting the child or young person has power over them by virtue of their age, gender, intellect, physical strength and or economic or other resources.
I'm Danielle Ammon. I'm from the Children's Society Scarpa Project in Newcastle, and I'm here to do a workshop on child sexual exploitation. I travelled to America in September last year, 2014, on a Winston Churchill Fellowship to do some research into child sexual exploitation. My main aims were to go out there and kind of travel around different areas of America to see how young people who are victims of sexual exploitation are supported, what services are out there, and basically kind of just, I hoped to kind of take some learning from that to bring back to the UK to inform some of our practice here. So the key learning aims of my workshop will be to raise awareness of child sexual exploitation and what that involves, and allow participants to learn a little bit more about how to spot the signs, to get an idea of what's happening in America as well as the UK, and how we can improve our practice, learning from others as well as what we've already got in place. If there was one key message from my session this afternoon to take away, I think it would just be how young people are approached when they are making disclosures, when there's concerns around sexual exploitation, that these young people are treated with respect and dignity and they aren't criminalised or victimised.
And that's one of the difficulties I think us as practitioners who work with those young people face on a daily basis, and it's like the Stockholm Syndrome, when they identify with the perpetrator. So they might not actually recognise that they're being abused, that they might, or they might be trying to protect them. We've got a resource that we use, we've got a lot of young people together, well not together, we fill them separately to talk about not their experiences but what's happening in Newcastle, because we use it as awareness event.
Workshop fantastic. I really liked the indicators of, you know, risk indicators of what might suggest that a child is being coerced into some sort of sexually exploitative situation.
For me, I gained a much better understanding of sexual exploitation. I like the breakdown of the Barnardo's models. That's not something I've come across before. Although I kind of understood the boyfriend model, because I think that's the thing that you see in the press more often now. But I thought it was a really interesting workshop and it was very well delivered.
Really informative, and learned a lot from it. I thought it was an excellent workshop.
The things that I think we took from it were, because Danielle talked about getting a fellowship, a Winston Churchill fellowship, which enabled her to go to the States. She went to lots of places, whizzing about the States, going to projects and looking at various American responses to child sexual exploitation and comparing that with the position here in the UK. So she talked about the UK first, and I think what came across was that was it just a positive response here, you know, that, which surprised me a bit. I don't know what other people thought, but just that here, children, I'm trying to compare, children are really being looked at as victims, although I'm sure they wouldn't like to be thought of as victims, but they have been involved in exploitation. When Danielle went to the States and compared how it was in the various projects that she visited there, it was very much a model of criminalisation. So, you know, children as young as 13, 14 being criminalised, you know, being locked up for being involved and nothing happening. You know, people weren't looking at the men and how the men have become involved in this, and they weren't being criminalised. So pretty horrific. And I think what came across was that we are ahead of the USA, which was a bit of a surprise as well. We were, and I think Danielle was maybe expecting to go there to learn, but feeling, you know, that we are further ahead. The thing that I really took from it as well was the use of language, so that children there would be seen as prostitutes, whereas here they would be seen as children who've been exploited. Danielle spoke about visiting one project where, you know, the name of the kind of refuge or place that children were living was called Children of the Night, which will just stay with me forever. I think it's just horrendous to think that children you know, she had a poster of a flag, you know, a banner that had that written across. I mean, how that feels to somebody who's living there, that they're regarded as children of the night. And I know that in the States, women who are prostitutes, that's how they're called, women of the night. The key learning that people have written down is the language we use is critical, not to stigmatise and to encourage healing.
I was really shocked, mind, at the children of the night and how they managed to get, and the fact that the connection and the guy who's given the money is Hugh Hefner. I mean, I just don't think you would hear of anything like that over here. You couldn't. The Children of the Night is a service which supports young people who have been sexually exploited in the community, but I think it seemed to be based more around education rather than a therapeutic approach, but I think the fact that they're labelled as children in the night seemed extremely wrong, because they all thought of themselves as child prostitutes rather than victims.
Like they were still being punished because they were in this unit and they had to stay in that centre, so in a way they're still being punished, even though it's supposed to be protecting them.
Yes, that's the feeling I got anyway.
And that overall idea that they're being criminalised, the children at 13 years old are being criminalised and labelled as being prostitutes, which is just, you know, we would just not accept that.
No.
Although, you know, it's still, that use of language as well, that was a really interesting one. We are always careful in our work, appropriate language, and yet still it's within our country and within the recent court cases of Rotherham, and the language has come out as being very kind of insensitive and inappropriate.
I think things here have changed a lot. It's still a long, long way to go, but it is quite shocking actually when you hear in that way.
That's something else that Danielle was saying, wasn't it? That they, you know, they were being put in prison, labelled as victim, labelled as prostitutes, put in prison for their crime, being punished, and then being offered support at the end of it. But you've already labelled them as a victim. You're just making the whole, you know, the whole thing so much worse. It was awful, actually, to think that they do that.
A lot more work to be done.
Somebody's written informative. We're surprised that the UK was ahead of the USA in supporting our young people. It was good to learn about Derby Safeguarding Children's Board, have a toolkit about child sexual exploitation, which I think Danielle has, you know, will share a link. The importance of positive relationships, so that, you know, forming relationships with the young people. To be mega aware of the use of appropriate language. One of the things Danielle spoke about was we tend to think of children here as victims, but that's not helpful to them. They don't regard themselves as victims, or they may not. Somebody's put, I gained a better understanding of sexual exploitation and the Bernardo's models. Danielle spoke about the three models of sexual exploitation, the sort of boyfriend model that young people will regard themselves as in a relationship with someone who is effectively exploiting them. There were two other models, a peer model. Peer model, where particularly gang culture in the States, which is less so here, but there's still peer pressure to, which can lead to exploitation. What was the third one?
Organised trafficking
as well. And thinking that, you know, there's less of that in Newcastle than there is in other parts of this country. Let me just see, there's one more. Points of learning, indicators, three models that Bernardo's have. So looking at the indicators for sexual exploitation, which she spoke about. And again, that's in the slides if people are interested.
Bernardo's South of Tyne Locality Day. University of Sunderland, 24th of February, 2015.